Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The biggest story to me from the 2020 census numbers that came out this week was not that New York and California and a few other states each lost a seat in Congress, or that Florida gained one and Texas gained two and a few others gained one. Those things matter. They may actually matter to the control of Congress, so it's really big in that respect. But as a census matter, they are incremental, and all those states grew in population. The biggest story from the census to me was how many people left Puerto Rico. The population of Puerto Rico now is 400,000 people fewer than it was in 2010. The island lost a whopping 12% of its population. No place else comes close. Only two states lost population at all. West Virginia declined by 3%, Illinois by just 0.1%. So Puerto Rico losing 12% of its population over the last decade is in a class by itself. So what happened? And what does this exodus mean that Puerto Rico needs? Puerto Rican listeners, help us report this story. If you left the island since 2010, or if you know anyone who has, tell us your story or tell us theirs. 646-435-7280. Our phones are open for you. 646-435-7280. When did you leave and why? If it's you, how much of it was a direct result of Hurricane Maria? How much was other factors? What's the effect of so many people leaving? And what does the island need if we assume that so many people wanting to leave is not a good thing? 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. And back with us now is Ilana Casanova-Burgess, host of the WNYC and Futuro Studios podcast, La Brega, and an On the Media producer. Hi, Ilana. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Brian. Good morning.
I guess I should ask first, do you have reason to believe that this census count is accurate?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, there was a problem with the process in Puerto Rico for a while. It seemed like only 30% of homes had responded. Also, it was a slightly different process on the island because usually the census verifies addresses first and then sends out the forms. In Puerto Rico, both of those processes were happening at the same time because post-Maria, post-Irma, there was just a lot of confusion about addresses and about what homes were still homes. That said, there was an expectation, actually, that the number of people who had left in the last 10 years would actually be higher. So, you know, demographers were expecting this number to be quite large. That, you know, I'm not a demographer, but if they were expecting an even larger number, I think we have to assume that this is accurate-ish.
Yeah. Right. So the main story of a lot of people leaving seems real to you as someone who covers Puerto Rico issues. And so are there big tentpole reasons? Can you say it's really because of A, B, and C, and that explains the bulk of it?
Well, I mean, everyone who knows and loves a Puerto Rican knows that it's really hard to live there right now. I mean, I think a lot of people are familiar with how difficult post-Maria recovery has been. There were also there was also an earthquake swarm, which was a massive story last year, which I don't know how many people really recognize, but there were hundreds of earthquakes going on in the south of the island around Guanica, and it destroyed buildings, public buildings, residences. You know, this is just crisis after crisis. There's also been a fiscal crisis, a recession over the last 15 years, which I like to refer to as an austerity crisis, because what that means is that public services have been cut back drastically. A couple of years ago, hundreds of public schools were closed, and part of the reason for that, what the government said, was that there just weren't enough students in the schools, so that they had to close some and consolidate them in order to make the system make sense. So, you know, you have this this landscape that's so difficult to live in. It's also very expensive to live in Puerto Rico. We can talk about why, but I've read estimates that the cost of living is something like 13% higher than it is in the States. And all of that compounds. The other, you know, anecdotally, I know a lot of people who came to the States in the last 10 years, and that might just be, you know, my age bracket, but who came to the States in the last 10 years for college or for graduate school to take advantage of the schools and educational opportunities here in the States. And that's partly because the University of Puerto Rico, which is, you know, a jewel of a system, has been so decimated by cuts. And so it just doesn't seem like a viable system to be a part of if you're looking for higher education. So a lot of people have moved to the States, and, you know, but once you do that, then you get a job here, then you don't go back. So those would be my, you know, 1, 2, 3 reasons.
Yeah. So what could reverse those? Are people, is there any consensus on what it would take? Because it sounds like a situation that is continuing to spiral downward in terms of quality of life.
Well, there are always calls to repeal the Jones Act, which is this somewhat obscure law, which I think some people might have heard of after Maria. It's about shipping. So it means that all the goods that are shipped from the United States to Puerto Rico have to be on U.S.-owned ships. It makes shipping more expensive. It makes goods more expensive. So that's one thing that people talk about all the time. You know, there have been in the last, well, I think it was 2012, there was this package of laws referred to as Law 60. and that tried to create these tax incentives to get U.S. companies to move to the island to create jobs. And that has been hugely controversial. We could talk about that a bit more. Mm-hmm. What it has done is basically, you know, a lot of the discourse around what's happening in Puerto Rico now is that there's massive gentrification from people who don't want to pay federal income tax, or who, you know, companies who want to relocate. It's part of a government program to attract businesses. And what that means is that they don't have to pay as high taxes in Puerto Rico. There's a huge land grab. One of the biggest stories over the past few months has been that the government is selling off some public land for private development from companies from the United States. You know, so while it's extremely expensive to buy a home to live in Puerto Rico, it's sort of this idea that the island is being sold off to external investors. So you hear a lot of conversation about that.
Cecilia in Ridgewood, you're on WNYC with Alana Casanova Burgess, producer and host of La Brega, which is a podcast series about Puerto Rico. Hi, Cecilia.
Hi, Brian. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Hi, Alana. Love Hola. The podcast. Hola. I grew up in San Juan in Guaynabo. I'm a Guaynabita. If you're from Puerto Rico, you know what that is. not really, but you know. But I just like wanted to mention that, like, you know, the relationship, Puerto Ricans' relationship with New York has been such a presence in the culture of Puerto Rico and New York. And like this going between New York and Puerto Rico has like existed for like the most of the 20th century. And for example, my grandmother is Puerto Rican, well, was Puerto Rican, but yet she grew up in Manhattan with her grandmother and her mother. Graduated from Hunter College and then went back to Puerto Rico, met my grandfather, raised her kids in Puerto Rico. My aunt grew up in, my aunt moved to New York, lived here until she passed away. My brother moved here. I now live here. There's like this continuous relationship. And I think, you know, it's sad that like young people like me, I graduated from high school in 2013, college in 2017, that I feel the need to stay in New York because of better access to jobs in my field and like the arts. But at the same time, like it's something that has been existing that has just existed for most of the 20th century. And like we get salsa from that. I don't know. It's an interesting phenomenon. I don't know if I really contributed anything, but
I'm glad you definitely contributed
with what you said so far. Cecilia, I wonder if in your family's experience or broader community's experience, you think that there are good things and bad things for the quality of life on the island of that intense connection and so many people going back and forth between Puerto Rico and New York.
Yeah, I mean, I think quality of jobs is definitely one thing. My mom is a high school teacher, and she talks about how, you know, a lot of her coworkers who are teachers, it's just better for them to, like, move to Orlando or move to, you know, Miami or someplace in the States because they get paid more, or, you know, quality of life is better to live, you know, to live in Puerto Rico. Yeah, just like what has been what you've been saying on this episode, is that it's hard. And as a young person, you just, especially in the arts, like, to get a job in New York is a lot easier than to get a good job in Puerto Rico. I think jobs have to do with it.
Alana, you want to talk
but
to
I'm not
Cecilia?
An expert.
Well, I'm glad about what you said about el vaivén, which is a word that means, you know, the coming and going, because it is such a fluid process. It's such a fluid relationship. And I read that this exodus in the last 10 years would, you know, rivals or maybe even surpasses what happened in the 50s when so many of our family members came to New York. And it does, you know, it is important to remember that people also move back sometimes.
Yes.
You know, I
my
know.
My parents moved back.
Say that again. Sorry.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but my parents left Puerto Rico for 30 years, went back. I mean, sorry to interrupt.
No, not at all. I mean, that's exactly it, right? And there's even now, I've heard some friends talking about this idea of rematriation. You know, it's like a feminist twist on repatriation. But yeah, rematriation, like moving back to the island. I was even at El Boricua, you know, that bar in Rio Piedras, and I was listening to some live
music. I love
El Bori! El Bori, exactly. So I was listening to some Juana, and they made an announcement saying, like, hey, everybody, like, tell your relatives, tell your friends who have moved to come back and buy property, because everyone else, all these, you know, they were saying basically all these gringos are coming and buying apartments and buying land and making it impossible for us to live here. And we need to, like, stake our claim for our own people as well. And so, you know, there's also a conversation about whether that would also continue to drive up prices and be its own, you know, different kind of gentrification. Like who are we really looking to afford to live in Puerto Rico? But that's very much like part of the public discourse now, is how do we, you know, who is Puerto Rico for? And there's that refrain, you know, Puerto Rico para los puertorriqueños, Puerto Rico for Puerto Ricans, which also to me sounds a little bit dangerous, because there are Dominican immigrants, there are other immigrants who are there. And I think that in some ways, you know, can we make space for more people while also maintaining affordability and a certain quality of life? But anyway, yeah, that it's just something that's in the air all the time.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're talking about the biggest move of any U.S. state or territory in the new 2020 census numbers that just came out, the biggest population move, and it was a decline of 12% of the population of Puerto Rico, 400,000 people since the year 2010. And we're talking about it with our own Alana Casanova Burgess, host of the amazing WNYC Studios and Futuro Studios podcast series La Brega, Stories of the Puerto Rican Experience. And when we continue in a second, Alana and callers, I'm going to want to relate this to the debate that seems to be rising in Congress about Puerto Rican statehood. So stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we talk about the remarkable and distressing census numbers that came out this week pertaining to Puerto Rico, 12% decline in the population, the biggest of any U.S. state or territory in the 2020 census as compared to 2010. And as I said at the beginning of the segment, really in a class by its own, because no state, almost no states lost population. Mostly the census is an exercise in counting how fast different states grew. West Virginia lost 3% of its population. That was the biggest state loss. Illinois lost a tiny fraction of 1% of its population. Other than that, every other state gained. Puerto Rico lost 400,000 people since 2010. That's 12% of its population. And my guest is Alana Casanova Burgess, host and producer of La Brega, Stories of the Puerto Rican Experience, the podcast. Do you want to talk about it at all, Alana, in terms of the title of the podcast? Some people listening now may have heard, but a lot would not have heard the podcast itself or the segment when you were on talking about the title La Brega and what it actually means, this sort of muddling through when things are complicated, or define it how you want. Does it relate to that? Because leaving is not muddling through.
Ooh, what an interesting question. And I do like muddling through. I'll have to add that to my list of brega definitions. Being in La Brega is being in the struggle, being in the hustle. It means sort of negotiating a solution to a problem that you can't really resolve. So, and actually we've been hearing from a lot of listeners from different parts of the world, from Israel, from India, from Kenya, that there are other words in other languages that basically mean this, you know, when you kind of scotch tape together a solution, or as you're saying, you know, you're not doing well, you're not doing poorly, but you're just kind of holding it together, like struggling, muddling through, grappling with a problem. In terms of what we are trying to do with the podcast and the sort of exploration of these different bregas, one thing that there's an important Puerto Rican scholar, Arcadio Díaz Quiñones, who talks about how La Brega as a word also is a word that belongs to the diaspora who, you know, came to the United States, came to New York and Chicago and elsewhere in the 50s and 60s in such huge numbers, and that they also faced this peculiar situation of being immigrants but also citizens at the same time. You know, the immigrant experience, even though Puerto Ricans are citizens, is very familiar. Not speaking the language, you know, trying to navigate a new environment. And so they were also bregando, you know, they were in La Brega. And it's a very popular word in the diaspora as well. So I'm thinking about that a bit. And also, you know, we do in the second episode talk about how that huge wave of migration was not an accident. It was something that was very much engineered by Puerto Rican officials, because they felt like there were too many people in Puerto Rico, right? I mean, so some of our listeners might have heard about different ways. There was something called La Operación, which is how many Puerto Rican women were actually sterilized in order to lower the population. But another way that they were trying to lower the number of Puerto Ricans was literally encouraging people to leave, because they felt like there just were too many people. And so it's interesting. Our last caller talked about the vaivén, talked about the coming and going all the time. And we do, you know, we do have that history.
Edgardo in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Edgardo.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Alana. How are you?
Hi.
I guess I just wanted to continue to add to the conversation, because what Alana is touching on literally right now is very accurate, because what we looked at in the 1950s through 60s was Operation Bootstrap or Manos a la Obra, which is when my family came to the United States from Santurce, Puerto Rico. And what you saw in that period was about the same amount of Puerto Ricanos that have left Puerto Rico now over the census. I mean, we're looking at just under 500,000, just under a half million. And that had a significant demographic change and cultural change on the landscape throughout the United States. You know, like you just said, bregando is such an important part of the diaspora's vernacular. And, you know, salsa was created, poetry, departments of studies were created across the United States because of this massive move of Puerto Ricanos. And I think what we're about to see is a cultural shift with this new generation of Puerto Ricanos that are finding home here. I'm a diasporican. I'm a product of that generation that migrated here in the 50s. And with my time and work, you know, I've created my own philanthropic projects with my graphic novel series, La Borinqueña, because one of the most challenging things I had after Hurricane Maria was losing my family, compounded with the tax code repeal, Tax Code 936, which was repealed in 1996, but over the 10-year phase-out, by 2006, you know, Puerto Ricanos have started leaving the island in droves, white-collar, for the first time, because pharmaceutical industry is completely collapsed. You can drive through Juncos, and it's like a ghost town now of so many of these once thriving factories that are now just
there was a certain kind of tax advantage that was taken away, right?
Yeah, most certainly. And so what we've seen is, like, you've seen the tax codes repeal. Then you saw Hurricane Maria recently, just four years ago. And then you've just seen the recent earthquakes. And there has been a consistent migration between between Puerto Rico and the United States. And obviously, since we're a colony of the United States with U.S. citizenship, Puerto Ricanos moving from the island to the U.S. is like, you know, someone moving from Connecticut to New Jersey. You know, all we have to do is just go to the post office and submit a change of address form. The only thing is, when we come to the United States, instantly we can vote for the commander-in-chief. Even though we can serve in the military, now we can actually vote. But it's just something that's been part of the culture. But I think that it's an important side effect, and it just came to me as I was waiting to just jump into the conversation. It's what the culture is going to change, what really is going to change. Right now, Puerto Rico is exporting incredible amounts of culture. I think one of the biggest pop stars on the planet right now is Bad Bunny, who doesn't even bother to translate his lyrics into English. But when you look at this population boom of close to 500,000 Puerto Ricanos who came in the 50s and 60s because of Operation Bootstrap, salsa was created in the 70s. You know, so what's the next boom of culture that's going to happen here in the United States? And, you know, we're watching studios and that are kind of grappling with the fact that they're witnessing that they have not been creating content that is reflective of the Latinx experience. Well, what's going to happen when there's like a boom of Puerto Ricanos into this country more so than ever before? How is that going to shift culture? And I guess that's kind of like a question I'd like to ask. Like, Alana, have you even thought about that? Like, how this may even have a significant cultural shift in U.S. culture?
What a great question. And Alana, you'll appreciate I have to do my radio thing here and give the legal ID in the window that the FCC permits. This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey public radio. And Alana, what do you say about that cultural shift?
Oh, goodness. I mean, I wish I were qualified to answer the question because it's such a good one. I think one of the first things that I thought of as you were talking, Edgardo, is, you know, we had original music from Puerto Rican artists to score La Brega. And just last night, we had a little live event with this band called Balloon, which is led by the brilliant composer Angelica Negron. And they are here in Brooklyn now. They're extremely, you know, they're Puerto Rican. I was going to say they're extremely Puerto Rican, but they are. And you know, the band's members are now all over the place. But they were started in Puerto Rico some 20 years ago, and at a certain point, everybody in the band then lived in Brooklyn, you know. And they were talking a bit last night about how that move influenced their music and their sound, and thinking about, you know, a bit about the nostalgia that a lot of people feel for the island once they move, and why everybody visits so often or tries to when it's not a pandemic. And so, you know, first of all, I would encourage everybody to go seek out Balloon. It's a wonderful band, beautiful music, doing really exciting things. But, you know, I think about what Angelica was discussing last night about that cultural flow, about how her music and her thinking changed being here, and, you know, the sort of homage to the homeland. But yeah, it's a great question. You're right. You know, salsa was born here, and, you know, also the Puerto Rican flag was born in New York. A lot of people don't know that, but it was designed in New York. So, ha.
Ha. Edgardo, thanks for an amazing call. And I got to go because we're running out of time in the segment. So, Alana, last question. The idea of statehood is often brought up as a solution to many of the island's problems. That's a rising conversation in Congress right now as well, but I know different people on the island have different opinions always about statehood, independence, whatever status. Does that conversation belong in this conversation?
Just a simple last question to close out the segment.
That's right. That's in 20 seconds.
Well, you know, one thing that I talked about with Yarimar Bonilla the last time I was on the show with her is we were sort of talking about what it would mean now that the diaspora is so huge. You know, I think it's something like 9 million people consider themselves Puerto Rican in the United States, and it's like 3 million and change on the island. How does the diaspora, like, how do we contribute to that conversation about status? I'm sort of avoiding your question here about whether statehood would necessarily, like, fix the problem or not, because, mm-hmm. you know, that's so complicated. But mm-hmm. I think the next level question for me is, what do we do? Like, how do we contribute to that political conversation in a productive way? And should we have a say? And in what way should we have a say? And what are the mm-hmm. questions we should be asking about this process and about status?
And that's an example of the struggle, the muddling mm-hmm. through, if nothing else, right?
I got okay, so.
Alana Casanova-Burgess, host of the amazing podcast series, which you should all listen to if you haven't already, from WNYC and Futuro Studios in both English and Spanish, La Brega, Stories of the Puerto Rican Experience. Alana, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thank you, Boricua Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. I take that as a compliment. And it is time now for the latest news.